John chapter number 10, I'll read from verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. We jump to verse number 25. John chapter number 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I read that passage again, that particular verse again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Father, breathe upon your word this morning. We ask, O Lord, that let there be illumination from heaven into our heart as we behold your word today. Let there be an anointing upon the ears and the heart of your people to receive the engrafted word this morning. I ask, O Lord, that you think through my mind and you will speak through my mouth. Let this word go into the recess of our heart and let it be productive. Let us all leave this place transformed by your word. Let the ear, the deafness begin to disappear in our lives. Let the ears of men and women present in this place begin to pop open. The spiritual ears begin to pop open by the reason of your word. Thank you because you will do this and much more. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Can you say big amen? Praise God. If you've been a member of the church for a while, or been coming to the church, you know we're big on people saying amen, because it's not a cool way to just finish up prayer. It's important. It's an agreement. Amen. Today, I'm going to be speaking by the grace of God on a message that I've titled Sheep in Fellowship. The Sheep in Fellowship. The Sheep in Fellowship. Now, you remember when we started last week, we mentioned a few things about hearing God's voice. And just to reiterate myself briefly and then jump into today's message, we said hearing God is possible. We said hearing God is paramount. And we said hearing God involves a process. It involves a process. It's not just something that just happened all of a sudden. More often than not, it takes time. It takes a process. And we talked about the fact that the shepherd speaks. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Why? Because the shepherd speaks. And that was why we titled the last week's message, No Mute Shepherd. No Mute Shepherd. In other words, shepherds are expected to speak, for the sheep to hear the voice. And we say the trademark of being a sheep is the ability to hear. The trademark of being a sheep is the ability to hear the voice of the shepherd. And we went ahead and we spoke about the way God speaks to us in our day and time, how it has changed from the way he used to speak to them in the Old Testament, for instance, by the angels, by voices coming from heaven, dreams, visions, through prophets and all those things. We delve into that and we dealt with it and we concluded that the way God speaks to us has improved and it has changed, judging from what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spoken to our fathers by the prophet, as in this last day spoken to us by his son. Another translation says, in his son. And we say what that means is not just about the word of God, it's about what Jesus instituted. And what did Jesus institute? He instituted the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, it's expedient for me to go. I know you are crying now. You don't want me to go, but it's expedient for me to go. Because if I don't go, God is not going to send the Holy Spirit. But when I go, he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. He will guide you into all truth. And we said, the season has changed. We went through a few dispensations. And I said, there was a dispensation of the patriarchs. There was a dispensation of the Old Testament, referred to as the dispensation of the law. And now we are in the dispensation of grace. And with change of season, there is a change of method. And that the method that we use, that the Lord has instituted in today's kingdom, as it appears to us today, is not in any way inferior to what it was previously. In fact, it is superior. So we don't have to rely on dreams. We don't have to rely on visions. We don't have to rely on all of those things, even though they are good. But there is now a better way, because the Bible talks about a better covenant, a better promise. A better way to hear God, because God has given to everyone the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. If you are born again, you are saved in this place, you have the same Holy Spirit. There is no bigger Holy Spirit. There is no smaller Holy Spirit. It doesn't come in shapes and sizes. It's the same Holy Spirit. There is no small, medium, and large Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that is in you, that is in me, that is in everyone that is born again, that is saved. It's the same Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not just to find a place and just get a cushion and sleep in our spirit man. The Holy Spirit is there for a purpose. And one of the important reasons why the Lord has put the Holy Spirit in us is that he does want to speak to us person to person, not via another person. Person to person, he wants to speak to you. He does want to speak to you, and I said, believe that. The Bible says Jesus spoke to them and said, I have told you, you did not believe me. I've told you. Why? Because you're not my sheep. Because hearing God starts from the platform of faith. You need to believe that he wants to speak to you, and he does speak to people. All right? So that was what we talked about. And Jesus said, look, this gift of the Holy Spirit is superior. It's better than what you had before. It's better than what some people pursue today. Are we saying there are no dreams and visions and there are no hearing of voices from heaven? Of course, they have. You still experience them, but they are the exceptions, not the rule. Why? Because the season has changed. And I went into some details about seasons, as we have it in our present day and time and as it appeared in the scriptures, that when seasons change, things change. And I said that some of these things that we had experienced before, as recorded in the Holy in the Old Testament, they were things that were like what you refer to as scaffolding equipment. When you want to build a structure, a tall building, you put what we call a scaffold outside. Most of the time, you have those bars and those metals put together so that people that are working on the building will have access. To the higher floors, to the second floor, the third floor, and all those things. But as soon as the building is finished, it has what is called the escalator. And when the escalator starts working, you don't expect any man to start climbing the scaffolding materials. That means the scaffolding equipment anymore. As a matter of fact, if you are a builder and you have finished everything and you are just in the process of getting out the scaffolding equipment and somebody says, I want to go to the seventh floor, and he's still going, getting his hands on the bars and on the metals, the next thing you will do is that you have to probably call the police and call the ambulance or whatever, because he says to be checked. The escalator is working. All right? The Holy Spirit is right here within us. So it's not about checking for voices or dreams or visions, because the job is finished. That's why Jesus says, it's finished. The escalator now works. Go in there and go to the seventh floor or to the tenth floor. You don't have to climb and bruise your hands. But somebody is saying, no, I'm just used to that old way. You know, I just like it, hearing God's voice, you know, say, my son or my daughter in the middle of the night, you know. and the Bible is saying, the season has changed. The season has changed. We now have a better promise. We now have a better covenant. You know, something happened in John chapter 12, just before I go into today's message. Something happened in John chapter, let me read it to you. John chapter 12. You've got your Bible, John chapter number 12. And I will read verse 27. I'll read from verse 27. Now, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Now, Jesus was about to go to the cross, and he was just praying to his Father. Verse 28, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said, that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Verse 30 says, Jesus answered and said, the voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. The voice did not come so that I can confirm that I've heard God. The voice came because of you. Why? Because you have no access to what I've got access to. I've got access to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He speaks through me. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me by relating to me directly. So I'm not going to rely on the voice that comes from heaven, from outside, to confirm what the Holy Spirit is saying, because he lives inside of me. Okay? And that's why he says the voice that came is not for me, it's for your sake. It's for your sake. The people say he thundered. It's like an angel has spoken to him. In other words, they believed it when they heard the voice. But Jesus said, that voice is not for me, it's for you. It's for you guys. I relate directly with the Holy Spirit. And that's the platform that Jesus wants to raise up onto. A platform that have a direct relationship with the Holy Spirit. So that we don't have to relate on a voice that comes from outside. And that's why it's a better word, it's a better promise, it's a better covenant that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Now, but what I want us to talk about today, you know, is to begin to ask ourselves the question, okay, fine, I'm born again, and I believe I'm a sheep, because I'm born again, and I'm saved. But to be honest, I'm not hearing the Holy Spirit, I'm not hearing God. You know I should be hearing him, I believe I should be hearing him, but preacher, why am I not hearing him? Or should I pretend I'm hearing him, and just assume I'm hearing him? But there's something, there's a problem there. I'm not hearing him. I just want us to look at the scriptures together and see the reason why it is possible for a sheep not to hear his voice. Right? Because it is possible to be a sheep and not have this hearing of God's voice experience. By the way, let me say it right from the very outset, that the hearing of God's voice, there is an aspect of it that can be taught. And by the grace of God, that's what we're teaching over the next few weeks. Of course, except next week when we're having a special program. But there is an aspect of it that cannot be taught. There is an aspect of it that can only be experienced, that you can actually learn. You will learn it by the Holy Spirit taking you through. And the Holy Spirit is a master in that. He will take you through that. So there is no reason to panic. There is an aspect of it that can be taught as we are teaching from the Word. There is an aspect of it that you actually learn by experience. Okay. Now, so if you are that person that is saying, well, I believe I'm the sheep. I have the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible calls him the good shepherd. But I can't honestly say I'm hearing him. I can't honestly say I'm relating to him and I'm getting information and direction from him. What's going on? Now, let's make it simple. You know, and the way to make it simple is to relate to what Jesus is talking about in this place, talking about the shepherd. You know, the shepherd in Jesus' days, in the Bible day, is not exactly like, you know, the Australian sheep farmer. You know, the Australian sheep farmer, for instance, will have, let's just say 1,000 sheep, and he will have a farm, and then when he wants to move them from one place to the other, he will need to drive them. By driving them, I mean he will jump on his motorbike or whatever he's got, and he's going to chase them. And he's going to get his dogs, trained dogs, to guide them to a particular place. And the guiding is not nice. It's by fear. The sheep will be in trepidation because they are going to be, they're going to hear the voice or the noise, the sound that is coming from the motorbike and the shouting, all right? And the dogs are specially trained, so they will come from this hand if they want them to go into this direction, and they will come from this side if they want them to go into this direction. They are trained to do that. That's what an Australian sheep farmer will do, all right? And then the Bible says he calls them by their name here. He called them by name here. An Australian sheep farmer does not have time to know the name of all these people, all these sheep, 1,000 of them. You'd be a genius to know that, okay? He doesn't have time. If you call them names, he call them what I call, he call them names, you know? And when sometimes my daughter will come to me and say, no, my sister is calling me names. I know what that means, you know? Because the names will stand like, you know what names are, stupid, foolish. Because the sheep is not the smartest of the animals. In fact, it's not very smart at all if you have actually been close to the sheep. They are not very smart, you know? And then the farmer will call the sheep all sort of names, especially when the dog is trying to chase him to this side and he's moving to this direction. Say, stupid, come over here, you know? That's an Australian sheep farmer. And I say Australian sheep farmer not because it's peculiar to Australia. That's the way it is done in the Western world. Okay, but in the eastern, in the land of Palestine, as it was at this time, it's not exactly that way, you know. The example that Jesus gave in this place is the example of a shepherd who has a few sheep. They are not necessarily in thousands like you have at commercial level. He's got a few sheep. And don't be surprised that the shepherd has a few sheep, because there are shepherds that have few sheep in their day and time. If you remember in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, when David came to see his brothers at war, and his brother Eliab, the firstborn, said, I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. You have come to see the war, right? With who did you leave those few sheep? Referring to the sheep that was given to David. So David actually had a few sheep he was looking after. So it was not out of place to have that number, because it's a small farmland, or rather it's a small village, and then you have 3, 4, 5 shepherds having, you know, a flock of a few sheep. And then they will bring this sheep at the end of the day. They will bring them to a place, the sheepfold, they call it. Now, the sheepfold, you have bricks made all around it, and then you've got a small entrance. The small entrance has got a gate. In fact, sometimes it doesn't have any gate, so that the keeper of that place, the sheep keeper, will have to lie, across the openings into the sheepfold. So, in order to get access to the sheep, you actually need to trample on, or kill, or do something to the man that is manning the whole sheepfold. So I will bring my, say for instance, I will bring my 10, 15 sheep. I will take it into the sheepfold. Mr. B will also bring Shepherd B, all right? He will also bring his own 10, 15 sheep, or whatever the number is, and bring it to the sheepfold. And then maybe like 3 or 5 of us, let's assume 3 of us, we've got 10 sheep. Each, and we've brought them into the sheepfold. So we've got 30 sheep in there, in the sheepfold, okay? So the sheepkeeper, the Bible actually calls it the doorkeeper, all right? The doorkeeper is somebody that holds and looks after the sheep overnight. And then in the morning, the shepherd comes. And then the shepherd comes, and as soon as the doorkeeper sees the doorkeeper, of course, recognizes the shepherd. He will not allow any other person to go in there. But once he recognizes the shepherd, oh, yeah, shepherd, hey, yeah, how are you? How was the night? Good, all right. And then he will allow the shepherd to go in there. Now, when the shepherd goes in there, don't forget there are now 30 sheep, and not all of them belong to him. So the Bible says he called his own, and his own recognized his voice. And out of the 30 of them, only his own 10 comes out to him. Amazing, isn't it? Only his own 10 come out to him, and then he takes his own 10 out. All right? And then when Shepherd B comes, he goes in there and do exactly the same thing and bring his own sheep out until the sheepfold is empty. So that's the idea that Jesus, and of course, Jesus did not have to explain it to them because they were living at the time, they could see it. It was a reality to them. But we had to tune our brain back 2,000 years to see and to relate to what it was then. So it's not like I've got 5,000 sheep because they are for commercial purposes, and then I know everyone by name. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a shepherd that has a few sheep, knows them, calls them, and they follow him. Now listen to this. There was an incident that happened a few years ago. The story had it that some people, I believe from England, they made a trip. They were tourists. They made a trip to the land of Palestine, and when they arrived, in Palestine, the guard, the person that is going to be taking them around, said to them, one thing you are going to see here is that the way they raise their sheep here is a bit different from the way it is in the Western world. And he said, in this place, what you discover is that the shepherd actually goes in front and the sheep follow. And because they can recognize his voice. Okay, so that's the way we do our shepherding business here. It's different from the way you guys are used to, because in your own place, you don't speak to the sheep. You just drive the sheep and get them into wherever you want them to get to. So that was on arrival. A short while after, they visited a village, and they saw a man chasing the sheep, driving them, pursuing them. And those guys were perplexed. And one of them had the courage to go to the man and say, sorry, I thought in the east, in the land of Palestine, that people don't drive sheep like this, that they speak to them or they lead them or they go before them and the sheep follow them. And the man looked at him and he said, yes, you're right. The shepherd actually goes before the sheep and the sheep follow. He said, I'm just wondering why you are driving them. He said, oh, sorry, I didn't tell you that I'm not the shepherd. I'm a butcher. I'm taking them to the slaughter. Okay? So that explains the way it is. The shepherd goes before, and then the sheep follow. Why? Because they hear his voice. Now, this is the key. The key to hearing God's voice, and that's clearly expressly stated in the passage that we have read. And I will read that again in verse 4, John chapter 10, verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. For they know his voice. I want you to read something in verse number 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Now, the voice produces the desired result because it is a prior knowing. There is a prior knowing of the voice. What I mean by that is the sheep responds to the voice, not because it's a sheep. It responds to the voice because there is a knowing of the voice. There is a knowing of the voice. Response to the voice is not because of your nature as a sheep. Response to the voice is a function of your knowing the voice. Did you get what I'm saying? Because in the same sheepfold, there were sheep that did not respond to the voice of the shepherd. Why? Because they did not know that voice. So the sheep respond to the voice because the sheep know the voice, not because the sheep is a sheep. Okay? Now, how does knowing come? Knowing comes by fellowship. Knowing comes by fellowship. Knowing does not just happen. The sheep does not just suddenly know the voice. The sheep know the voice because there has been fellowship. Now, the word fellowship is from the Greek word koinonia. It means intimacy. It means communion. Some people have described it as a social intercourse. There is an intermingling. There is a cross-pollination, as it were. So there is a knowing because there is fellowship. As a matter of fact, it is said that this shepherd, they spent hours with each sheep in the flock. Just, I don't know what they do with the sheep at the time, but just being with each individual sheep member of the flock, spending time with them, and getting to know them. And I believe it's in the process of that they give them whatever name they give them. So there is a knowing because there is a fellowship. Are you getting it? There is a knowing because there is a fellowship. Verse 14 that we've just read said, I know my sheep and I am known by my own. I know them and they know me. I know them, they know me. How did that come about? Because there has been a fellowship. There has been a time spent together. There has been a period of getting to know and interact very well. That's how knowing comes. That's why I said knowing does not come by the nature of sheep because it's a sheep. Knowing comes because there has been fellowship. There has been fellowship and there is a the fellowship produces a knowing. Okay? Now, the question is, why is it that I am a sheep and I don't know him? And I don't have a simple answer to that, but I can tell you one of the reasons why the sheep does not know the shepherd's voice is because there is no fellowship. If there is no fellowship, then there cannot be a knowing. Because knowing is predicated on fellowship. And there is one thing that you will have to know about fellowship. It takes time. Time is involved with fellowship. Time is involved with fellowship. Before somebody gets to know someone, there has been some time spent together. There has been a fellowship together. Now, that gives an idea of why many of us as the sheep of God, under the shepherding business of the Holy Spirit, under the shepherding covering of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's very difficult to hear the voice. Why? Because we do not know the voice. We do not know the voice because we do not have fellowship with the person speaking, the shepherd. We do not have fellowship with the one speaking because we have no time to have fellowship. So there is need for time. Time gets fellowship. Fellowship begat. Begat is an old English word. Begat knowing. And it is the knowing that actually produces the response, the required response. You know, every one of us that is in the kingdom, we have relationship with God. Every one of us that is born again, we have relationship with God. But there is a difference, a slight difference, especially when you're talking about it in the family context, between relationship and fellowship. You know, by the grace of God, we've got three girls, and we treasure them because we believe that they are gifts from God. As a matter of fact, their names, their names actually reflect that. You know, because we believe that they are gifts from God, and God has given them to us, and we want to make sure that we take care of God's property, as it were. Now, sometimes when I'm away, out of the city, I do give them calls. You know, and when they pick up the calls, for instance, if it's in the afternoon, they will say, "Good afternoon, good afternoon. Who is speaking?" Hello, and they say, "Hello, good afternoon. Who is speaking?" You know, I remember that because I had to teach them. You have to greet people when you pick up calls. Hello, good afternoon. Who is speaking? You know, and then when they pick up the telephone piece, and I said, "Hello." The next word from them will be what? Daddy. Why? They know the voice. They know the voice. It will be out of place for me to say, "Hello, I am. My name is Joseph. I'm actually living so and so address in Ellenbrook." I mean, to my own daughter. That there is an anomaly there. There is a problem. Why? They know the voice. I don't have to introduce myself. How did they come to know the voice? They know the voice because there has been fellowship. We have lived together. From the day they were born, they've lived together with their fathers. Or their father. Not fathers, please. Their father. Okay? So they know the voice. They recognize the voice whenever they hear it. Now, assuming for any reason, and this is an assumption, please. Assuming that for any reason, I've got another child, you know, somewhere, you know, with another woman, an assumption, example, okay? And then after for any reason I'm not living there. I don't communicate with them. I don't have anything to do with them. It was a mistake of some sort, and we've repented and we've said, okay, fine, just take the child. That's it. Okay. Now, when I call that child, I will have to explain and I will have to tell the child who the person is. I'll probably not go through that route. I will probably have to ask for the mother. I want to speak to your mother. Why? And you say, because I have some things to do with him. And we're still talking about the child of the same man. Why is that so? There is no fellowship. Is there a relationship? Absolutely. Absolutely, because the child is my child. But because there has been no fellowship, recognition of voice is difficult. Impossible. Because there is no fellowship. Now, listen to this. Relationship is a function of birth. Fellowship is a function of choice. I have that child, as soon as that child came out of the mother, the relationship is a father-to-daughter relationship. We don't have to negotiate it. I'm the father. I hands up. Okay? I'm the father. That's the relationship. Okay? And she does not have to negotiate. She's my daughter. That's the relationship. Now, but she does not know my name because he or she has no fellowship. The one that knows my name, or rather, the one that knows my voice is the one that has fellowship. And that's a choice. You choose to have fellowship. You don't choose to have relationship because relationship comes by birth. When you were born into the kingdom, there was a relationship between you and your father. It's called a father-to-son or father-to-daughter relationship. But your hearing of the voice comes and is predicated on the fellowship you have with the father. Is that making sense to somebody this morning? Your hearing the voice when he speaks to you is as a function of the fellowship you have with him. Because fellowship makes your hearing to be attuned to understand that this is the voice of this person and no other person. And that's why he says, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. The voice of the stranger, when they hear it, they flee. You know what? You don't struggle to know all the counterfeits in the world concerning a material. All you need to know is to know the original so well. Once you know the original so well, you don't struggle with the counterfeit because you can compare the counterfeit with the original. The voice of God, if you know it so well, many of us will not be as confused as we are. You know what we are doing? We are trying to test all the counterfeits with one another, and we have no idea of how the original is, and that's why we're getting confused. And that's why people are following all what I refer to as the superfluity of nothingness. You know, people in this 21st century are still following zodiac signs to tell their future. People are still saying I'm Aquarius or something, or I'm you know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me as if you don't check those things out. You know, I'm Leo, you know, and then they tell you how your future will be. And people read it and they believe it. Why? Because they don't even have a clue of the voice of the Father. No fellowship whatsoever. Perhaps one of the reasons why we are struggling to hear God's voice is because we lack fellowship. That's why we're struggling to hear the voice. Are you a sheep? Yes, because you're born again. But are you a sheep in fellowship? The one that Jesus is referring to in this place is a sheep in fellowship. It's not just a sheep. It's a sheep in fellowship. At 1 hour, 90 minutes in church on Sunday, I'll see you next week, God. That's what we practice, isn't it? I'll see you next week, God. Say whatever you want to say now before I leave. And that's why we struggle all the week, because we don't know the voice. Fellowship takes time. And parents in this place will understand what I'm talking about. Fellowship takes time. It takes effort. It takes time. You devote time for it. It's not always convenient. It does not always work out. You choose to have fellowship. You choose it. It doesn't just happen. You know, you choose to engage with God in prayer. It doesn't just happen. And as you pray, there is fellowship. There is communion. There is a kind of a spiritual intercourse. That's when there is an exchange, and then there is a knowing of the voice. The studying of the word does not just come naturally for many of us. It takes time and effort to make it happen. You know, in a week or so, we're going to be engaging in fasting and, of course, prayer. And those are exercises that we do to engage in fellowship. How does it happen? Let me just take you into the details of how it happens. Because hearing God involves learning, what the Holy Spirit does when we get born again is that it comes into our spirit man. Because you are a spirit. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live inside a body. Believe me, that's the truth. When the Holy Spirit, when we get born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within our spirit man. Our spirit man comes alive. Somebody says, does it mean that unbelievers don't have a spirit? They have a spirit. It's called a dead spirit. The Bible says they are dead in the spirit. They are not weak. An unbeliever is dead in the spirit. Why? Because he cannot relate to the person of the Holy Spirit. He cannot relate to the voice of God. He has no clue, no idea. That's why everything looks like, you know, gibberish to them. They can't relate to it. All right. And if you fall under that category, you can always change status today. Okay. So the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit man. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit man, it does not just want to reside in there. It wants to influence our entire being. And by influence, I mean it wants to move just beyond our spirit man. What that means is this. At every point when you have fellowship, at every point when you have fellowship, something happens to you. I want you to please take notice of what I'm going to say in the next few minutes because this is very key. At every point when you have fellowship, there is a release of something into your spirit man. That thing that is released into your spirit man is called the life of God. This life of God is translated Zoe. You probably have heard it before. It's Z-O-E. It's the eternal life of God, the essence of God. The best way to describe it is as blood flows in you. That's what flows in God. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 26, as the Father has life in himself, so has he given unto Son to have life in him. John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. It's not biological life. It's not the breathing in and the breathing out that we're doing this morning. It's a life of God that flows into our spirit man. You know, John chapter 1 says this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. That was powerful. Verse 4 says this. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness. Verse 5. And the darkness cannot comprehend it. The darkness did not comprehend it. Now, so this life comes from God. When you have fellowship, when you pray, when you study the word, when you do anything that has to do between you and God, life flows into you. The eternal life of God flows into you. Somebody says, so what does that mean? Just bear with me. Just follow me. Now, the Holy Spirit, when it comes into your spirit man, does not just want to reside into your spirit man. He wants to do some work beyond your spirit man. And this work needs to be done in your soul. Your soul comprises your mind, your will, and your emotion. All right? It wants to work on your mind, both conscious and subconscious mind. It wants to work on your will, your choice power. It wants to work on your emotions, your feelings. It wants to do that. Now, but it will need the life that flows from God to do this. It's like a cleansing work, you know? Because don't forget, by the reason of sin, there is something that happened to our soul. It just became devastated. Our thinking became turned completely upside down. And that's why people, the thinking of an average man is completely against the will of God. Because something happened when those guys in the garden, when they ate the fruit, something happened to their mind. And as a result of that, you know what happened subsequently. They started killing each other. It was not so in the beginning. Right. So what the Holy Spirit does is that he causes this life to go into your mind, your will, your emotion, and it starts to work on things. That's why sometimes as soon as you get born again, you just discover that you are uncomfortable with some things that you were comfortable with previously. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit working on your mind, messing up with your mind because it was already messed up anyway. So he's messing up with it to mess it the right way. You know, they spoke to the disciples. They said they turned the word upside down. But what those guys were then doing was they were turning the word right side up because the word was already turned upside down before they came. Okay? So when the Holy Spirit came, he begins to mess with that mind because it's already messed up and he's correcting all the selfishness, all the selfish ambition, all the hatred, all the anger. All the jealousy, you know, all the reverence, all the stuff in your mind is working and is controlling them. Now, how is that important to our hearing God's voice? Now, because there has to be an alignment between your mind and your spirit to be able to want to act. Your mind has to process it from an enlightened platform in order to be able to act. It is when your mind processes, after your mind has processed it, that it instructs your body to act on it. Now, so that's what happens. And that's why fellowship is very key, because it's only through fellowship that you have access to this life of God that flows into you. That's the only way. There are no two ways. That's the only way. So when you pray, and sometimes when we pray and we just pray for, you know, things, Lord, give me a car or something, it's not just the car that you are getting. You are also getting life flowing into you. And that is why sometimes, I mean, it's encouraged that you don't have any prayer points. You just stand in your room, shut the door, and say, Holy Spirit, I just want to edify my spirit man. I want to receive the life of God. And then you just start praying in the Holy Ghost. I do that many times. You are in your car, you shut the door, you are driving, 30 minutes drive, you just keep praying in the Holy Ghost. What's happening to you? Life is flowing into you. Now, this is the key. The hearing of God, when it comes into your spirit, man, your mind has to agree with it, and that's why the life of God flows in there to correct all the anomaly. Because what the problem is with us is because for most of us, the Holy Spirit is right there within our spirit, but we are not acting anything out. It's not making any difference. Why? Because our mind is still as messed up as it was previously. There is no work of renewal. The Bible word for that is sanctification. The Bible talks about the washing of the water by the word of God. There is a washing that needs to take place. All right. So because the mind is not attuned with the spirit, there is a discordant tune in between them. So what is getting into your spirit is not translating to your mind. It's just messed up. There is no communication whatsoever. Is God speaking all the time? Are you hearing? No. Are you a sheep? Yes. Are you in fellowship? Probably not. And that's why it's not getting transmitted. And this hearing of the voice of God is not, you know, somebody has heard me before, so how does it work? And I'm still learning that, you know. But I can tell you from experience that there is a part of it that you learn as we're teaching it from God's word, because the word is true. But there is also a part of it that you learn as you go through the process with the Holy Spirit. And it will take you through that. He's a master in that. Okay? Sometimes it comes as a strong impression in your spirit, man. You know, impressed into your heart. It's like an engraving of some sort that you cannot say no to. Because your mind is attuned to the spirit, is able to pick it up. Somebody says, how does God speak? He speaks, slowly or with a soft voice. How does the devil speak? He speaks loudly. But how do you measure the frequency of the words that is coming out from them? You know, it's almost indescribable. It's a strong impression that comes into your spirit, man. And that you just pick that up because your mind is renewed, is attuned, because the life of God keeps renewing it and working on it. And you learn it through a process, people of God. You can start today. It's a process. But the most important thing you should ask yourself is, how much time am I fellowshipping? How much time am I taking in fellowshipping with God? Because there are no two ways about it. I can tell you without any shadow of doubt, if any man chooses not to be in fellowship with God, he can hear nothing. Nothing. Until the kingdom comes. Because the way it is arranged is that it comes to you through fellowship. Your relationship, good. But that relationship gives you access to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's not where it stops. Okay? So it's this strong impression. And of course, sometimes because it's a learning process, sometimes you get it wrong. That's okay. You know, the Holy Spirit, when he takes you through this journey, it's not going to start from what I refer to as high-risk issues. It will start with low-risk issues. Can you go and check that neighbor, how he's feeling? And then you get into the neighbor and knock the door. And then your neighbor opens the door and say, you know what? I was just praying that God should just send somebody to me to talk to me. You pick that up. Oh, so what I had was the Holy Spirit. That's the low risk level. Okay? Because if you get to the house and there was nobody there, then you can go back to your house. No problem involved. It's not going to start with you with asking you to go and sell your house and go to Peru to go and start a church. You won't start that way. Why? Because you won't even hear it. You won't hear it. Years ago, I was in the house and it was on Saturday. I was just minding my business and I was just watching some, I think it was a soccer match of some sort, you know, sports. And then I heard a voice from outside, you know, and the voice was so loud. You know, and I peeked through the window, and I saw a man. Now, when I saw this man was kind of half naked because he wasn't wearing any top. But from the look of things, you will see that he was well groomed. What I mean by that is, you can see that he was still normal, except that he wasn't putting on his shirt. And then, as I was looking at him, he started removing his shoes, his socks, and he started removing the, I think he removed the singlet and stuff like that. It didn't take long before I knew that, you understand, something is going on with this guy. This guy is psychotic, you know, and he was shouting at the top of his voice. The neighbors, everyone came out, you know, to see him. How can a well-groomed man, a good man like this, what happened to him? As I was just ruminating on what was going on, I had it in my spirit, man. Go and pray for him. I rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. Go and pray for a madman in the middle of the road and everybody is looking. What if it did not work? What's going to happen to me? Reputation in shatters, you know. No. Go and pray for him. I want to do something. I want to do something and I want you to be involved. I had it. It was a strong impression. I couldn't have thought of that. I've seen hundreds or perhaps thousands of mad people. I walk across them every day. There was no voice like that where I was living. I walk in the world and there are psychotic people. No voice to tell me to go and pray for anybody. So I knew it was not my idea. It was never my idea, but it was. Say hello, no, please, please. And I heard him again. Since you have said no, I'm going to heal him myself, and I will use some. And what I'm telling you is it was like a conversation, and that's why I said it's not a voice, but I knew what was going on. It wasn't a voice. I didn't hear the voice as I'm talking to you, but it was clear. It was I. People of God, this aspect, nobody can teach you. That's the truth. But the Holy Spirit is a master in it. He will take you through it. As I am, by the grace of God, I'm still working in that. I'm still learning it. But you can't learn it by just listening to me, people of God. You need to be in fellowship with God, and he will teach you. And then he said, I'm going to use something that you will never believe, something far lower than you. And I was looking. The man had removed everything. Now he was trying to remove, you know, the pants. And everybody was like just stunned, just looking at him. And that voice told me, he said, look at what is going to happen. And it was like a movie. Oh my God. It was, as I'm telling you now, I'm just feeling it, you know. It was like a movie. He said, look at what I'm going to do. And the man bent over. There was some sand on the road, so there was some sand in there. He picked up the sand, rubbed it on his face. And he rubbed it the first time and second time, and I think maybe twice or thrice, and he stood up. And he looked around, and he did like this, as if somebody had just opened his eyes, his mind just opened, to realize, what am I doing here? And he did like this. He said, that's what I can do with man. With any man that will listen to me. You know what I did? I rushed out of my room. That there's something going on in this room. I rushed out of my room because I knew I failed God. I rushed to meet the man. Because now he's not okay. I rushed to meet him, but it was too late for me. I felt so bad. I was trying to do what they refer to as damage control, you know. I walked up to him. I said, Mister, what's the problem? He said, what am I doing here? I said, I don't know. How did you get here? He said, I don't know how I got here. What's going on with me? And when we got talking, of course, I took him into my, now, because he's okay now, I took him into my place. And people were still applauding that in some ways, you know, because it was a bit of bravery. But I knew I failed God. I knew I failed that voice. I failed the test, you know. And then I took him in. We had a chat. Apparently, he came from a place maybe about 200 kilometers away from there. And he didn't know how he got there. You know? He didn't know how he got there. And then we arranged for him to be transported and all those things. Anyway, it's a long story. But what I want to bring out is this. That day, I learned how the voice comes. I learned. That was not going to be taught me in the classroom. No. It was by experience. A low-risk experience. People of God, he will teach you. If you stay in fellowship, he will teach you. He will speak to you. And then, so years later, when I spoke to my wife, I said, we're moving from this place. We're leaving. She said, why? I said, because God spoke to me. Now I know better. I know how he speaks now. You know, it's by experience, people of God. But that experience comes only to sheep in fellowship. Never by any method. And I just pray that something will awaken in your spirit, man, that you have the potential to begin to hear his voice. Why? Because you are a sheep. The problem is just that you are not in fellowship. You don't stay in fellowship. There is no time. You have not committed time. For many of us, we have not committed time to talking to him, to staying with him, to having an intercourse, as it were, with the Spirit of the Lord. And just praying and just being in a place of and just fasting and just studying the word and just being in the fellowship of God's people. So when he speaks, we don't hear him. Not because we are no sheep, but because we are lost, we're not in fellowship. Let us pray.